helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. The question is, have the American people learned from COVID-19, or will we be fooled yet again? With the recent collapse of NFL player DeMar Hamlin, people have taken the opportunity to question the safety of the COVID-19 vaccines, even before we have any medical information. But it's not just COVID, but the entire public health bureaucracy has fooled us before, and they're setting up to fool us, at least when it comes to new variants, the vaccine, and other drugs as well. Now, when we look at how we've been fooled in the past, the question we should be asking ourselves is, if we've been fooled so many times, to whom does the shame belong? Hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study. Yes, here we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. And when it comes to COVID, there's a lot of freedom that needs to be taught. You know, John Jay says that we read and study the Constitution so that we recognize when our rights are being violated and we're prepared to defend and assert them. And that's something that, the American people haven't shown a lot of in the recent past. And because of that, it keeps going into the future. So let's take a look at some of these things. And I want to start with this question about the vaccine and COVID deaths. Because I've seen a couple of articles, and you know me, I want to go back into the data. So I saw this article on Epic Health that was asked the question, why do vaccinated people represent most COVID-19 deaths right now? So I went looking through this, and it's interesting. They point out, yes, Joe Biden declared the pandemic over. He declares a pandemic of the unvaccinated. Now, what was interesting is they linked to the CDC's COVID data. And they actually link to the raw data, which I found interesting. You'll realize in just a minute. Because when I looked at the summary data, when I look at the COVID data tracker at the CDC, and they talk about rates of COVID-19 cases and death by vaccination status, I'm looking at this going, wait a second, it looks like the unvaccinated are the ones that seem to be the highest death rates. And I thought that was odd. So I kept looking through the data, and I looked through the article. And that's where I came across a very important piece of information. You know what they say? There are three types of lies: lies, darn lies, and statistics. Well, the interesting thing is when the CDC shows deaths by vaccination status, they limit it to ages 5 and up. Now, I started looking through the data, and I still wasn't convinced until I found this report. This comes from, the Peterson Kaiser Permanente, I believe, they did an analysis. And according to their reporting, the share of adult population that is died with COVID based on vaccination status. Now, they're looking at 25 specific jurisdictions throughout the U.S. between June of 2021 and February 2022. What they found is in June of 2021, of the overall adult deaths from COVID, 60% were vaccinated. And as we go into July, August, September, yada, yada, the percentage gets higher. That's the share of the adult population that had death with death dying from COVID-19. When we start looking at the share of adult deaths, well, the numbers change again, right? So it's an interesting thing. If I understand this correctly, again, I'm not a statistician, but if we understand this correctly, what we're seeing is while the number of COVID deaths are among the unvaccinated. In other words, if all you look at is COVID deaths, the majority is unvaccinated. But if you look at deaths overall, the number of vaccinated is the highest number. And again, this didn't pop out at me first as I was reading this. This took a little bit of investigation, which is why I'm spending a little bit of time on this. But it brings up an interesting question. If you look at the numbers and say, okay, well, the CDC says, hey, guess what? COVID deaths are mostly among the unvaccinated, but overall deaths are mostly among the vaccinated. Well, there's a couple things to consider about that. I see two possible outcomes. One is vaccination is contributing to death. The other is, since a greater percentage of the population in America is vaccinated, I think somewhere up to 70% of adults in America are vaccinated, yes, they're naturally going to represent a larger percentage of the overall deaths. It's a simple mathematics calculation. But I also looked at it, and I found this Rasmussen poll. They did a national telephone and online survey, and they found that 49% of American adults believe it's likely that the side effects of these fake vaccines cause a significant number of unexplained deaths, including 28% who say it is very likely. So we have a population that's looking and saying, we're seeing excess deaths, and we believe that a lot of it is the COVID-19 vaccine. Now, there's something very important to understand. This is an opinion poll. This is what people are thinking. This isn't a set of facts. And I want to point that out because, well, it's easy to get confused. I see a lot of people stating opinion as if it were fact. And I think that's a lot of what leads to our confusion. Being fooled is somebody says something and we assume because of a title or a position or an education that means it's a fact, and that's not necessarily the case. So when I back up a little bit and I say, well, okay, the CDC does point out that the majority of COVID deaths are among the unvaccinated. That is true. And of course, then the other flip side, which is I found from the Kaiser Permanente, was yes, that's true, but the majority of deaths overall is among those who are vaccinated. Now, those are correlations. Can we find a causation? Can we find justification for the people's opinion that a lot of these deaths are happening via because of the vaccination? When DeMar Hamlin went down and had a coronary event, a lot of people jumped to the assumption that it was the vaccine. Why? Because we've had more and more reports of athletes both going down and many of them dying from sudden cardiac events, much more than we've seen in the past. I think I read a report from Dr. McCullough saying that in the 38-year period, going from like the 1960s into the 2000s, there were approximately 1,100 deaths from cardiac events among athletes in that 38-year period. But in the few months since the vaccine came out, the couple of years, year and a half that the vaccine came out, there have been over 1,500 deaths. Now, those are numbers that are important. You know, correlation isn't automatically causation, but it certainly does, well, it lends a bit of evidence and a little bit of credence. Well, here's a bit more evidence. I found this article talking about blood clots. See, there's a doctor who, a nurse. A nurse with 23 years of experience. And she said, we get clots in people. Usually they're only a few inches long. But now, after the vaccine has been released, she's seeing 8 to 12-year-old kids with 2-foot-long blood clots in their system. I just want you to stop and think for a minute, all right? Find yourself a tape measure. I have one right here. And I want you to pull it out to 24 inches. And I'm looking at that. I mean, that is as long, that goes from the bottom of my sole, the bottom of my foot, up past my knee. That's a long clot. That is almost from my shoulder to my fingertip. I can just imagine that going through your your veins, your blood system, your circulatory system, it would cause a problem. Now, what's interesting is another poll. Again, this is a poll. This isn't a scientific data. But in the poll, they said, if you're aware of a living person who had a 6-inch or longer blood clot, was the person vaccinated or unvaccinated? 91% of the people who responded said they were vaccinated. Again, that's a poll. That's not a looking at data. That's dealing with what people are saying, their opinions. But consider this. If experts like doctors, like nurses, who are saying, we haven't seen these types of clots. And again, these clots are different. I was listening to a report from a doctor, and he said, the interesting thing, these clots are, he says they're rubbery. You know, if you squish them, they tend to bounce back into shape. Now, that's not the way most blood clots function. You squish them and they stay squished. So we're seeing these changes, and you have to ask yourself, what has changed? What has changed over the last 2 years that correlates with these changes in blood clots and cardiac events among healthy athletes, in the excess deaths more than expected? What is the commonality among all of these things? And it is this new fake vaccine. And again, I'm going to remind you, the COVID-19 shots you're getting are not legally vaccines. The studies have shown they do not stop you getting infected. They don't stop you from spreading the disease once you're infected. They've never actually been tested, or at least the Pfizer one was never tested for efficacy. Their safety trials were ineffective and short-circuited. You know, the few safety trials they had, as soon as they started getting, as they were getting started, they basically destroyed the control group because they gave them the vaccine. These were released under emergency use authorizations without proper safety testing. People were coerced to take them and were lied to when they were told, oh yeah, this has been approved by the FDA. It is not. The only one of these mRNA vaccines that's been approved by the FDA is a brand called Comirnaty, which to my knowledge still is not available in the US. So I have to ask the American people, have you been fooled enough yet? I mean, let's counter, right? Fool me once, shame on you. Well, we've been fooled that, let's just look what we're talking about. We were fooled that the vaccine was safety tested. We were fooled that the vaccine was efficacy tested. We were fooled that the rate of adverse effects was low. We were fooled that the death rate was low. That's four right there. So fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. What about fool me third and fourth time? And remember, we are going to be living with the consequences as a nation. We're going to be living with these consequences for years, if not decades, to come. So I ask the American people, have you been fooled enough yet? And sure, I've had people say, well, you know, so-and-so says, where's their data? See, that's the thing about when you wake up from being fooled is now you're not taking people at their word. The old Reagan saying, right? Trust but verify. Where's your data? The same way I went back and I saw the article, right? I started this program off with an article that why do vaccinated people represent most COVID-19 deaths right now? And I started looking deeper. And to me, that headline doesn't hold up. See, if I look at the data, it's a little misleading, right? Because COVID-19 deaths are not among the vaccinated. Again, looking at the data both from the CDC and from Kaiser, if you're talking about COVID deaths, it's not the majority are among the unvaccinated. It's the overall deaths. It's the share of the adult population that is dying that is vaccinated. In other words, does it matter if you get the vaccine and you don't die from COVID, but you die from something else, you're still dead. And that's what I think we need to take some time and evaluate for ourselves. Now, I've got some more examples of being fooled, but I wanted to actually talk a bit about the military, but I have to take a break. Now, in addition to this radio program, I have a website. I have an organization called the Constitution Study, where we help people read and study the Constitution. I do lots of articles, training, online events. I've got books for sale. You can find it at the website, constitutionstudy.com. And I hope you'll sign up for one of my mailing lists, because I'm making changes as we enter into 2023. I want to have some more resources and different types of resources, and I'd love to hear your input. So when you go to the website, constitutionstudy.com, you can click the button, sign up for one of my mailing lists. Better yet, you can ask a question. Just click the Ask a Question button, fill in the form, and I will ask your question. If you hit the checkbox that says answer on the radio, well, guess what? I will. Also, are you tired of being tired? My wife has had a problem, as long as I've known her, sleeping well. And in fact, she was just telling me last night she was having a hard time sleep. She grabbed a REM sleep. It helped her fall asleep, stay asleep. She got a decent night's sleep so she could wake up refreshed. And it's all done with supplements. In fact, REM Cell is the only sleep supplement designed to work and support all four stages of sleep. Now, as an America Out Loud listener, you can get 25% off your first order if you use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So go to healthycell.com, put your order together, put it in your cart, go to checkout, use that code out loud. It lets them know you listen to America Out Loud. And as a thank you, you get 25% off your first order.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
Cold and flu season is here. Wouldn't it be great if you had a way to minimize airborne viral threats? Well, now there is, and it's a povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray called Cofix RX. You might even say it's just what the doctor ordered. To reduce your chance of getting hurt, you wear a safety belt when you're driving. To limit sun damage, you wear sunscreen on the beach. Cofix RX is just like that. It's an additional layer of protection. It's sold by thousands of pharmacists and medical doctors nationwide. It's made right here in the USA. Again, it's a povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray. You've heard them talk about it here on the Out Loud Network over and over again. Check out CofixRx.com. That's CofixRx.com for a retailer near you, or use coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off at CofixRx.com.
America Out Loud beats to the pulse of our nation. We know when you're angry, you're troubled, confused, glad, and thankful. We know you because we are you. Join us as we explore the most important issues of our time. We are America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. Today we're talking about being fooled, and well, if we've been fooled enough, if we're ashamed of the fact that we've been fooled over and over and over again. I talked in the first half about, well, some of the statistics and other information revolving around the COVID fake vaccine. Remember, it's not legally a vaccine. But now I want to talk a little bit about what's going on in the military. See, the Pentagon has finally announced that they're going to back away from the COVID vaccine mandate. This appears in a dossier how the Defense Department plans to stand down the mandate. Now, I find this very interesting. I've seen a lot of people, yay, the DOD's backing down the mandate. But wait a second, did the DOD have the legal authority to issue the mandate in the first place? But Paul, the president is the commander-in-chief. He can do whatever he wants with the military. Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution says Congress makes the rules and regulations for the military. It's the president's job to exercise those. And one of those rules in the military, it says you cannot punish a service member for not taking a vaccine or any product that has not been fully licensed by the FDA. And the mRNA, the Pfizer, Moderna vaccine, guess what? They're not licensed by the FDA. They're issued under an emergency use authorization. Now, that's not to say that the military wouldn't act like the big bullies they are and throw people out who didn't follow the rules, the illegal rules. And you really shouldn't be surprised that, according to what we've seen so far, the DOD has no plans to reinstate over 8,000 service members who were wrongfully, illegally discharged. So who's being fooled? Is it all the people who are praising the DOD for dropping the mandate that they had no legal authority to implement in the first place? And is it for them that when they refused to reinstate the people they illegally separated from the military, destroying careers and not, if not lives? And just who at the Pentagon, who at the DOD is going to be held accountable for these illegal actions? So far, it looks like no one really. But the American people are supposed to be fooled into believing that, well, the DODs, they're being rational now and they're going to drop this mandate and just forget the fact of the criminal activity they performed in implementing this mandate. And it's not just the DOD. The Coast Guard, which is part of the Department of Homeland Security now, threw Academy cadets out for refusing to be human guinea pigs. Now that the DOD, at least, and now this push for the mandate is being rescinded, they're asking to be reinstated. You got rid of us illegally, give us our positions back. And the Coast Guard right now is, well, they're dead silent. So let me ask you, who's been fooled? Is it the cadets that said, we'll pledge to help protect this country that were not protected by this country, where the laws were ignored and violated to coerce them into being human medical experiments? Or is it the American people, now that we have fewer cadets going through the Coast Guard Academy? Will that mean we'll have fewer officers and others that are willing to dedicate their lives to all the work the Coast Guard does? And if you take the Coast Guard and the military, you put them together, who was fooled? Were it the officers and enlisted personnel that believed that they were there to serve their country, to support the Constitution of the United States, but were not allowed those very same constitutional protections for themselves? That some had entered possibly to get credits for going to college, some simply to serve, some to make it a career. Were they fooled into believing that the government cared about the laws, cared about them? Who was fooled? Maybe a better question is, what will be the consequence of this repeated fooling for continually to be tricked by our public health agencies? Well, one of the consequences some scientists are warning about is this mass vaccination in the middle of a pandemic. Well, it's resulting in a number of variations the mass vaccination in the middle of a pandemic is contributing to the number of variants we have. The WHO has said they've identified a new variant of Omicron, what do they call it, XBB or something like that? Yeah, XBB.1.5. Oh, it's the most transmissible yet. Yeah, but does it hurt anybody? See, Omicron was the most transmissible. It's also the least lethal. It's a common progression in viruses. But because we've been fooled by this constant drumbeat on cases of COVID rather than deaths from COVID, many of us have been fooled into believing, oh my God, we've got to do something because we've got a new variant, which of course a new variant is going to mean a new booster shot. And it's going to be in some places, they're talking about re-implementing mask mandates. See, it's what happens when we listen to people and we never ask for the facts. For example, a senior official at the WHO has said that the new variant is a subvariant of Omicron. It's the most transmissible yet, that it's spreading across 25 countries, and all these one things. Just one problem. As yet, we have no evidence to support anything this senior official is reporting. So it makes me wonder, are we going to be fooled into another round of mandates and lockdowns and tyrannical control simply because, well, once again, we're being fooled? You know, I'm starting to feel like Charlie Brown trying to kick a football. You know, you keep trusting that the public health agencies, played by Lucy holding the ball, will actually hold the ball, but every time we get close, voila, she pulls it away again. How many times do we have to be fooled before we stop listening to these people? Or at least demand that they provide evidence for what they're talking about. That we don't simply take their word for it. They must have proof. The government has the burden of proof. And what about a redress for our grievance? Where's the accountability for illegal mandates, for medical experimentation, for fraud? Where is it? I haven't seen any. I mean, think about it. The federal government has spent billions of our dollars buying up these vaccines to give to people. They've got no legal authority to do that. That's fraud. That's embezzlement. You have the federal government trying to not only mandate their employees take an experimental shot in violation of the Constitution, but to force companies to force their employees to do it for them. And again, where are the consequences? There are none, at least for the most part. Why? Because once again, the American people have been fooled. Once again, we went running up to the kick the football, and well, in this case, the government just simply took it away. And since they never seem to pay any consequences for their fraudulent and bad behavior, they keep doing it over and over again. And what I find interesting is how often I encounter people that have the data. They find the data. I found an article about, I think it's called Utilization Nurse. Utilization Review Nurse out of California. So apparently, as I understand it, what she does is she looks at the care of patients. She did a study. She was looking at the care of patients across 20 different hospitals across California in the hot zone of COVID. And she's reviewing the care and she's reviewing what's going on. She's monitoring. And you know what she finds? She finds that during every phase of their patient's journey, from admission to discharge to extended care, she's finding fraud. Fraud. At a level she didn't think possible. Things from not just the systemic fraud, like, you know, the federal government paying hospitals more if they code a patient as a COVID patient or if they code a death as a COVID death. Not basic systematic fraud, but patient coercion, unreported vaccine injuries, and more and more. And she's got the data, but we're not hearing about it. She found providers acting in blatantly unethical ways. And nothing seems to be happening. Or I talked to other doctors who saying, you know, listen, COVID-19 is not the first time this type of nonsense has been happening. There have been issues with vaccines for decades, apparently. Vaccines that are not being properly safety tested. Yet they're being licensed by the FDA, and in many cases put on the CDC's child immunization schedule, a recommendation often used as a requirement to enter certain programs in schools. And we see the damage done, and we don't do anything about it. So I'm back to asking the question, how many times do the American people have to be fooled before we stop listening to these people? The number of times I was having an online debate with somebody. This has nothing to do with COVID, by the way. It has to do with the Brunson case. And they kept saying, well, the plaintiff, Mr. Brunson, said, and he said this, and he said that, and he said the other thing. I said, that's great. But the Constitution says something completely different. And that, to me, was the epitome. It was an example of the state of the discussion. See, this person had heard something they agreed with. We all hear the term confirmation bias. She heard something something they liked, something that fed something in their heart, in their desires. And they simply followed along because someone told them what they wanted to hear. Just like a snake oil salesman saying, take this elixir and it'll take care of every problem you might have. Or the infamous Nigerian prince says, listen, just give me a little bit of help and all your financial worries will be over with. We keep looking for somebody to take care of things. We keep looking for the swing for the fences, the big thing that will change absolutely everything. And I'm not even saying there's something inherently wrong with looking for the big thing, looking for the big score. My concern is how much of the energy is being spent on the big score and ignoring the little wins that are right at our feet. I hear people talking, saying, you know, they're concerned because, well, now that more information is coming out about the vaccine, maybe that wasn't the right choice for them to take the shot. What are the long-term health outcomes? They don't know, and they're concerned. But you know what? I don't have those concerns. I didn't have the concerns when my neighboring county put in a mask mandate, and I simply refused to follow it because I had the Constitution online. If I got a fair hearing, now that's a whole other question. I had the facts. I had the proof. I had the evidence. It's funny, a while back I put up my two-minute drill. I had a lot of people call me a lot of names from that two-minute drill. The interesting thing is not one of them challenged one fact I asserted in that drill. Now, if you want me to go through that again, maybe pick another agency. Be my guest. Ask. Just go to the website, constitutionstudy.com. Click the Ask a Question. Ask if I'll do a two-minute drill on that. If you're not familiar with it, look back on the show page, and I've talked several times about proving that the CDC does not legally exist in just 2 minutes using only the Constitution and a single Supreme Court case. I'm not saying it's my opinion. I'm saying it's proof. I've got the documents. I've got the facts. But in many cases, I'm considered an outcast for that reason. Same thing with the Brunson case, which I've talked off and on here. The idea of Mr. Brunson trying to get the Supreme Court to throw out 70% of Congress because they didn't do something the Constitution doesn't authorize them to do. And he calls that a violation of their oath to support the Constitution by not doing something that would have violated the Constitution. But again, when I bring that up to people, I've had a tremendous engagement on the article I did on that. You can find the article on my website, constitutionstudy.com. Just look for wishful thinking at the Supreme Court. And I go into all the details. But because I'm challenging what people assume will give them the ends they want, they ignore the facts I'm bringing and simply want to run forward. And that's how we keep getting fooled. We get fooled by wishful thinking. We get fooled by looking for somebody who offers a big solution and ignoring the little solutions right in front of us. We did it with COVID. We've done it with the economy. We've done it even with how do you fix the federal government? A lot of people are putting all their eggs in the convention of states baskets. These are all examples of being fooled by a promise, most of which cannot come true. Even if they did, they stand a very small chance. But this idea that just because somebody says something without any proof or out of the evidence, and we run headlong into it. Now, when we suffer the consequences, the very same people who put us in this mess are the ones we turn around and say, here, take more of our money, get us out of this mess. We do it again and again and again and again. And just as Albert Einstein said, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, is a definition of insanity. So maybe the American people are insane. Or maybe, as George Washington warned us, we've become so focused on political party and the dissension that comes from it that it leads us to seek our response, our recovery, in the hands of some movement, of some group or individual. And when one of these people, either by luck or by design, turns into a tyrant, then we will earn what we have planted in our own foolishness. Now, I've talked a little bit about some of the consequences, not only of our foolishness, but of falling for what other people have said. But I have some specific examples, some warning flags, maybe, that I want you to consider. But before I do, I have to take another break. Now, if you like this type of content, if you want to hear others with different points of view, well, do me a favor and go to AmericaOutLoud.com. In fact, I'd recommend you go there every day. Find the latest news, the latest happenings, the latest stories and reports, but don't keep them to yourself. Share them with friends. Share them with family. Take the podcast, the videos, post them wherever you can. Join us as we do what we can to secure the blessings of liberty.
Cold and flu season is here. Wouldn't it be great if you had a way to minimize airborne viral threats? Well, now there is, and it's a povidone-iodine-based antiviral nasal spray called Cofix RX. You might even say it's just what the doctor ordered. To reduce your chance of getting hurt, you wear a safety belt when you're driving. To limit sun damage, you wear sunscreen on the beach. Cofix RX is just like that. It's an additional layer of protection. It's sold by thousands of pharmacists and medical doctors nationwide. It's made right here in the USA. Again, it's a povidone-iodine-based antiviral nasal spray. You've heard them talk about it here on the Out Loud Network over and over again. Check out CofixRx.com. That's CofixRx.com for a retailer near you, or use coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off at CofixRx.com.
We know you love the versatility and portability of the Genesis Fogger, but sometimes you just want to set it and forget it. Well, we heard you. Introducing the UX4 HOCL Atomizer. This stationary unit quietly protects you and is perfect for smaller spaces. With over 250,000 units sold in Japan, it's now available in the United States. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to see the UX4 in action and receive a 15% discount on either Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. Today we're talking about fools. The old saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. How often do the American people have to be fooled before we stop trusting what we're being told? I've already talked, we've been focusing, by the way, on COVID-19 through most of this. Yeah, I talked about a couple other stories, but everything from the public health, quote-unquote, experts that have led us down the garden path, leading us to more and more variants, the focus on cases rather than deaths, the mandates implemented by the military. But when they rescind those mandates, they don't restore the people they illegally removed from the military. Examples of of health damage, the appearance, sudden appearance of giant clots in more and more people, clots of a size never seen before, much less routinely, to reviews of data showing examples of fraud and malfeasance at many levels. See, all of this should have taught us that maybe the public health experts, the bureaucracy based around public health, well, they're not up to the job. See, you have to understand, there's a reason why when the federal government was created under the Constitution, it was not given domestic powers. Its powers are mostly focused on foreign affairs and on the relationships between the states. But the states themselves are supposed to deal with domestic issues like public health. Because when you centralize that type of power, it draws corrupt people to it. It's human nature. If you want power, you go to where it's most condensed and you try to assume power. But with all the examples of the fraudulent testing of the COVID vaccines, and again, more exposure to previous vaccines that were not properly safety tested, to the illegal mandates from the CDC, from the FDA, releasing a products that were not properly tested, and then part of the encouragement was the of coercing people into taking this, hiding from them information about products that did have some effectiveness. Now let's look a little bit into the future. See, that very same FDA that has not done proper safety testing on the mRNA vaccines, quote-unquote vaccines, that have not done the proper safety testing on other vaccines, that did not withdraw their approval when they saw a great increase in adverse effects, including deaths. Well, this very same Food and Drug Administration has approved a new drug treatment for Alzheimer's disease. Now, there are two things I'm looking at here. First is, on the one hand, if you're sick, if you have a debilitating disease like Alzheimer's, why should you be denied the opportunity to try a drug simply because, well, the Grand Masters and supposed experts in Washington, D.C., don't think it should be used? Well, they say they're doing it to keep us safe, but they've also proven that's not what they're doing. But now they've released, so like I said, on the one hand, yes, if you want to try this, try it. But on the other hand, raise your hand if you trust that the FDA has done proper safety testing on this drug. I'm sure they say they have, but raise your hand if you're willing to bet your life that they actually did safety testing, and they did adequate safety testing. Little things like random control groups and placebo testing. Raise your hand if they think they did that. See, people complain that we've lost trust in our institutions. Well, for darn good reason. You know, all the pundits saying, well, you know, we've lost trust in the FDA and the CDC. Yeah, because they've been untrustworthy. We have been fooled too many times. I don't know about you. Now, thankfully, I don't have anybody in my family that has Alzheimer's. God forbid, maybe one day it happens. But if you think I'm going to recommend they try this drug just because the FDA said so, I don't think so. I'm going to do my family will do our own risk-benefit analysis. We're not going to take the FDA's word for it. We're going to be in there looking at, where's your safety data? What trials did you run? What is the outcome? You need to approve it. Now, the FDA has also approved chemical abortion pills to be sold. Well, one of the two, there's a two-part for the chemical abortion. Well, one of them is now to be sold over the counter. They've changed the rules for a drug that takes human life, that in addition to inducing abortion, has had some fairly serious side effects. And now they want to make it available over the counter. Again, I don't think the FDA should be, I don't think the federal government should be determining what drugs you are and are not allowed to use. I certainly don't think the FDA has proven themselves to be anywhere near competent at testing these drugs. So, I don't know about you, but granted, we don't believe in abortion, so I'm not going to be impacted by this. But I wonder how many young women will simply assume, well, it's available over the counter, it's got to be safe, and not take into consideration the serious complications that are possible from this. I mean, these are the same public health bureaucracies that took a medically experimental drug and put it on a routine vaccination for children as young as, what, 6 months now? A drug that has not been tested in people, in young people that age, that's not had the long-term, the longitudinal testing, that's not even had proper control group testing. And they want to give it to children. And now we're going to make this abortion drug, this half of the abortion drug, available. And I guess it's not technically over-the-counter, right? It's available in drugstores. Maybe you need a prescription. But we're making it easier to kill people. And we're supposed to trust the FDA did the proper safety testing. Let's set aside the abortion aspect of it. Do you trust when the FDA says this is safe and effective? Do you trust them? I don't. I truly do not, for the simple reason of they have fooled us too many times in the past. And I have to ask ourselves, how many times are we going to run up to this football only to have it yanked away because we're trusting people that have fooled us again and again and again? How many times are we going to sit back while the federal government cries wolf and simply go running up to see there is no wolf? How many times? You know, I started using the saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me 10,000 times, I must be an American voter. Well, it started out as a laugh line. It was meant to kind of break the ice and get people laughing and chuckling. But it's starting to seem more and more true. Have we really gone so far as to hand over the most basic aspects of our safety to a bureaucracy? I was listening to a podcast by Del Bigtree, and I always find it interesting. I listen to him because he's got a couple of reasons. One is he works with a lawyer, and they're doing some, what I think is some really great work using discovery and other tools to find out what's been going on behind the scenes with the COVID-19 vaccine. But I always find it interesting that they talk about regulatory capture, and he talks about how, you know, the very same regulatory agents that are supposed to protect us from this. And it never seems to dawn on him. Maybe he just hasn't thought of it this way. Because those are the very same regulatory agencies we did not authorize. The Constitution did not authorize. See, we let Congress and the politicians create these, telling us that these will be wonderful agencies designed to protect us. But bureaucracies never work that way. They don't. For a couple of reasons. One is bureaucrats. Let's face it, bureaucrats, for the most part, are more interested in their own position, their own job, their own future, than they are in the people they're supposed to protect. I'm not saying they go in that way, but that seems to be what happens in bureaucracies. They're designed to avoid upsetting the apple cart. The other reason is the people that tend to lead these agencies, these bureaucracies, well, they're interested in power, and they're more than willing to exercise it. So where does that leave the American people? Well, personally, I think it leaves me, and hopefully many of you, well, maybe back where we started. This idea that if government is lying to us, If government is the purveyor of disinformation, if they are creating agencies that they're not authorized to create, and those agencies are not doing the job they were chartered to do, it is time we stop listening to them. And by the way, I don't just mean the public health agencies. Right, let's start with federal agencies that are not authorized by the Constitution. The Department of Education, the Department of Energy, the Department of Transportation, the EPA. I could even make arguments for things like the FCC and the FEA being curtailed. But let's take the ones that really don't constitutionally exist. We just ignore them individually. Then we start hiring representatives that ignore them as well. What would happen if the state started ignoring the Department of Education? Said, no, we don't need your dollars. I'm still looking. I'd love to work with a school district or some administration and calculate the cost of complying with federal regulations and then compare it with the funding they get from those from the Department of Education. And I wonder how that would balance out. How about we just start ignoring these illegal federal agencies? But of course, if your state starts doing it, you're going to have to support your state legislatures because they're going to get yelled at. They're going to be called names. The corporate media will be after them. We'll have to support those that actually stand up and do this. Well, for example, Governor Abbott in Texas, he saw that the federal government wasn't stopping the flow of illegal immigration into his state. He took measures. His state has a border. It happens to border another country. He took measures. He set up a makeshift wall to stop it. Biden administration sued, and he folded like a cheap suit. Why? Could it be the people of Texas did not support Governor Abbott and what he was doing? In having a state governor act like the state as actually a sovereign state with rights and powers and the responsibility to protect its people? See, if we don't stand up and support people when they step out, they've got no reason to do so the next time. Then the next thing we need to do, we need to start defunding these illegal agencies. I know it's heresy for you to say it, but yes, we should. Now, I'm not a fool. You can't simply cold turkey get rid of these agencies. But it's about time we start weaning them out. We look at the, hopefully, under the new Congress, it'll actually go back to regular appropriations. We should start asking these agencies, excuse me, where's your constitutional authority to do what you're doing? How about we get the governments at all levels to prove that they have the authority to do something before we let them do it? Rather than the other way around, rather than letting them do whatever they want, and then we have to go prove that it's illegal or unconstitutional. In other words, we the people have to stop acting like the governments, those in government, are the people that are in charge. See, the Constitution starts with, the preamble starts with the words, we the people, and ends with, do ordain and establish this Constitution. We, through our states, created the federal government. We determined the boundaries of its power. And when it goes beyond those powers, it is our responsibility to fix it. We fix it by hiring better representatives. We fix it by refusing to comply with orders that do not legally exist. They are void. Supreme Court said, Marbury versus Madison, an act of the legislature repugnant to the Constitution is void. States aren't required to follow laws that are void. And for all those out there saying, but the Supreme Court has the authority to... No, it doesn't. Read the Constitution. Read Article 3. The Supreme Court is to follow the Constitution, not to interpret it, not to redefine it. They don't get to say what is and isn't constitutional. The states do, because it's the states that ratified the Constitution. The states are the only entities legally authorized to change the Constitution. Therefore, the states are the only legal entities legally authorized to determine what it actually means. I know this is a lot of stuff, very contrary to what most of us are taught in school. It's contrary because, well, those in the government-run schools don't want you to know that you have power. At least that's my understanding of things. But I keep going back to that quote from John Jay. Why it's what I used to found the Constitution study. Every member of the state ought diligently to read and study the Constitution of his country and teach the rising generation to be free. He said, by knowing your rights, you will sooner perceive when they are violated and be the better prepared to defend and assert them. That's what we need to do. If we wish to stop being fooled by those in government, in the media, we need to start by getting our facts straight. That means going back to the supreme law of the land so that we know what our rights are, we recognize when they're being violated, and that we can prepare beforehand. How do we defend our rights? How do we assert our rights? How do we do so legally and constitutionally? Now, again, I hope you like the show. I hope you'll support the show. You can always go to constitutionstudy.com and donate there to help fund the radio program and all the other work that we're doing. You can also listen every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. All my shows also go to podcast a day or two, generally after they're heard on the radio. You can find them in your favorite podcast app, or just find all the links at the homepage at AmericaOutLoud.com. The important thing is, don't simply go there yourself. See, we need to spread the word. We need to share the word. The thing about waking up from being fooled is it's worth sharing. So take all those links, all that information, share them far and wide so we can all share and enjoy the blessings of liberty.